What was your starting rank? And when you went to Vietnam, did you have a certain duty or job that you had to perform that was assigned to you?
Well, when I got there, I was a private when I first got there. They promoted us all to private first class. We were recon. The job of a recon team in the Marine Corps is zone reconnaissance. We did pull ambushes on the enemy from time to time. We almost never went anywhere with more than 8 people occasionally, but usually our job was to go into areas the North Vietnamese controlled, to watch the North Vietnamese using stealth and camouflage, hopefully not letting them know we were there. As one of our officers once said, if they know we're there, we've done something very stupid. Our mission was not to engage the enemy unless it was an out-and-out ambush situation. Our job was to watch the enemy, call in airstrikes or artillery strikes on the enemy, to hopefully kill as many of the enemy as we possibly could, and then get the heck out as fast as we could. We were inserted usually by helicopter, although in the first part of the war, when I first got there, we actually walked across the DMZ, into the DMZ area, going out very early in the morning so we wouldn't be observed, and then coming back late at night. But later on, in other situations and in other parts of the country, we were inserted by helicopter and picked up by helicopter. A lot of people say it was a dangerous job. I didn't really look at it as any more dangerous than being regular infantry, because the infantry people were out anywhere from 2 to 3 months at a time. We would go out, spend maybe two or three weeks, come back in for 4 or 5 days, and then go back out again. So we did have a few days of rest and that kind of thing.
What was the first major battle that you took part in, and in what part of Vietnam was the battle, and what was it like?
The first place they put me involving a bad situation, I guess, was Khe Sanh. Khe Sanh was surrounded by 5 NVA divisions at the time, and they needed recon people basically they diverted 5 of us to Khe Sanh. We were under operational control of the 26 Marines, and our job basically was to probe the perimeter and find out whether or not or how close the enemy was getting to the perimeter. Hopefully giving our people some idea of exactly what was coming. Having done some research on Khe Sanh and the battle, I realize now that we were duped by the North Vietnamese, or should I say General Westmoreland was duped. But Khe Sanh was intended to be a piecemeal battle. It was intended to be a situation where 5 NVA divisions were to try to take the base, and B-52s, other airstrikes, and artillery would completely decimate 5 NVA divisions, therefore giving us a major victory, and also doing the North Vietnamese a tremendous amount of damage and losing a lot of manpower at one time. That was the intention. The only thing is, that was not the NVA's intention at all. The NVA's intention was to draw General Westmoreland's attention to the Khe Sanh base, making him think that it was going to be a large-scale battle, that they were going to try to overrun Khe Sanh. And then in reality, spring the Tet Offensive of 1968, which they did. When the Tet Offensive of 1968 broke out, Khe Sanh was the only base that was not hit. The 5 NVA divisions, we quickly discovered, had melted away into the countryside and were hitting other bases in the other parts of Vietnam. So the entire thing was a feint by the North Vietnamese, and Westmoreland fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I now found out later on that the Marine generals tried to tell Westmoreland that this whole thing was a mistake, and he wouldn't listen. And some very, very heated discussions between the Commandant of the Marine Corps and General Westmoreland went on about Khe Sanh. We lost a lot of good Marines up there. We were taking rockets at Khe Sanh every single day. And one particular day, we had over 3,000 rockets hit Khe Sanh. We were taking direct hits and in the trenches and what have you. And basically, of course, we fired back with artillery and airstrikes and what have you, but these rockets were coming from in the Laotian border in the southern part of North Vietnam itself across the DMZ, which we were not supposed to cross and go after them. And it was certainly within artillery range and rocket range. So we got pounded pretty good. We lost a lot of good people, and as it turns out, they sprung the Tet Offensive and really didn't gain a whole lot from the Tet Offensive. They took Way City, but the 5th and 6th Marines took Way City back 2 days later. So the enemy gained nothing in the way of territory. They did gain a tremendous amount of political clout because of that.
Did you serve more than one tour of duty in Vietnam? And how was it like living there, just like everyday life, when maybe you got free time and, I don't know, got to go into the cities or that kind of thing when you were off duty? Or were you ever really off duty?
You were off duty, if you were fortunate, but you were always on guard. There were no cities around where we were. This was very close to the DMZ itself. What was life like? In the summer, it was miserably hot, 120 degrees at times, tremendously dusty. Everything was covered with a red-type dust, if you will. You could take a shower and 15 minutes later be dirty again, just from the blowing dust and this kind of thing. Constantly in a state of vigilance, because you never knew. Vietnam was a place where it could be extremely calm one minute and extremely violent the next. And you learn to live with that. You learn to live at times with not a lot of sleep. You learn to eat sea rations out of the can, quite often cold. If you got a hot meal, you considered yourself fortunate. You pray that you wouldn't be overrun, and you pray that your M16 would work. Those of us that had them, I got rid of mine later on because the blast of the thing jammed so much. But it was all in all an interesting place. If you could detach yourself from the war for any period of time at all and forget that one was going on, it really wasn't that ugly a country. It had its moments, but those moments were few and far between, unfortunately.
What kinds of activities did you guys do together, like you and your fellow men and your troop, take part in to take your mind off things when you had the free time to just kind of engage in social activities or whatever?
Well, after leaving Khe Sanh, we were the battalion's rear area. Let me set a scenario here. You had the field, or the bush, as we called it. You had a rear area where the rear area was fairly secure. Maybe occasionally you'd catch a few rockets in there, but very rarely did anything really happen of a violent nature in the rear area. Rear area was where most everybody slept, where you had your bunks. We had an NCO club. We had an enlisted man's club. Of course, the officers had a club. You could drink beer, sodas, that kind of thing. They had movies, free movies, of course. There were things you could do when you were back there. Usually we were back there for maybe 2 or 3 days, and then we'd go right back out again. But you did have a time to kind of, I guess the best way to put it, you would wind down and then mentally gear yourself back up again while you're in the field, where you're at a very high level of anxiety, or not anxiety, but a very high level of mental preparedness and this kind of thing. When you came back to the rear area, it was like pulling a plug out of the electrical socket. You just kind of drained yourself. And the whole thing started over about 3 days later, so that it was, you were constantly going through this the whole time. Marines pull 13-month tours. I extended for an additional 6 months. There are reasons why I did that. It was like rolling a dice, and there were other people who did that, and they didn't make it back. They had a chance to come home. They stayed an additional 6 months or so, and they didn't make it back. There were reasons why I did that. The reasons had a lot to do with we were having to pull people from Marine infantry battalions and train them to do what we did. Patrolling in an infantry battalion and patrolling in a recon unit is very similar, but there are some differences. You have to teach those skills to people, and you had to thoroughly screen the people that you got from the infantry battalion. You had to sit down and talk to the individual. You had to look at their service records to see what skills they had, what they knew, what they didn't know. I guess I didn't want somebody to be killed because I had rotated back home. And there was a lot of rumors going around the 3rd Marine Division was going to be pulled out of Vietnam, and I guess I kind of wanted to come back with the guys that I had served time with. So I rolled the dice, stayed an additional 6 months, and came back with 3rd Marine Division when they pulled them out at the end of 69.
What was the reaction of the Vietnamese people about the Americans being there? Were they kind of divided, or...
The Vietnamese population, I think, looking back on it, at the time, my own personal feeling toward them at the time was it was kind of, most of the South Vietnamese military units were skeptical at best. We learned to treat them with a lot of animosity, I guess would be the right word for it. A lot of the South Vietnamese units would not fight. They could not be counted on by other American units. We got to the point, being a recon unit, where we would not deal with them unless we knew. Occasionally, we would take one South Vietnamese with us because of the language as an interpreter. This was usually somebody highly trained, somebody who was a special operations individual, such as usually it was a South Vietnamese Ranger, one of their special operations units. They were different than the regular South Vietnamese Army units and this type of thing. So as far as dealing with a regular South Vietnamese unit, there came a time while I was over there where we actually refused to do that. And the reason was that we felt that our lives and what we were doing was so important and of such an extreme nature that we did not want to compromise what we were doing by dealing with people that we could not count on. The Koreans were a whole different situation. They were totally trustworthy. We had Korean Marine units attached to us for a while. We actually did some training with those people. We trained them in our recon tactics. They were extremely trustworthy, loyal. It was almost like dealing with a dog as far as training goes. You snap your fingers and they ask you how high do you want us to jump. That was their reaction to Americans. This probably had a lot to do with our country going to war to try to save them from communist aggression during the Korean War. But my overall reaction to the Koreans was nothing but positive, and to this day I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Korean people. They are very courageous people. They hate communism with a passion. They hate communists of any form, shape, or fashion. And the Korean units that we dealt with were probably the best troops we had in Nam. They would go to great lengths to kill the communists any way they could. And there came a time when the North Vietnamese were literally scared to death of the Koreans. They had a right to be scared to death of the Koreans. The Koreans had no restrictions on them like we did. They were under a different type of operational orders than we were, although they were OPCON to us, under operational control to the U.S. Marines. But they gained quite a reputation with the North Vietnamese. There were instances where we saw American units being hit by North Vietnamese units, and the North Vietnamese units would go around Korean units and would go out of their way to keep from making contact with those Korean units. That was the kind of respect the Koreans conveyed. And we fought the war in Vietnam the way the Koreans fought the war in Vietnam. The thing would have been over with at the end of 69, but we did not. The Koreans did not operate under politics. The United States did.
What other battles did you take part in, and what was it like for you to see your fellow men dying?
It's never easy to see anybody die. That was something we were briefed on when we first got to Nam. We were told by our senior NCOs that we were going to develop friendships that would last a lifetime. That is pretty much true. The initial reaction when you have somebody killed next to you or somebody that you know was of anger, of deep sorrow. The sorrow quickly turned to anger because we wanted retribution or revenge, if you will. And quite often we got it. For every Marine that went down, I've calculated we took something like 15 or 20 North Vietnamese with us. It was never easy to lose somebody, but you quickly realize that, and in a sordid kind of way, you were glad that it wasn't you, but you're also very, very upset in your own way. Different people react to that situation different ways. But almost to a man, it was a situation of dealing with it quickly and going on, because the next round could get you. So you had to put it behind you. You could not dwell on it. Death was everywhere. Like I've said before, it could be a very violent place. A lot of people could die very quickly.